So in 2014, Brad Hayes, you as a congressional, Supreme Court, national government scholar of the First Order, in 2014, we're going to have congressional by-elections. Second term, the Congress is now getting closer. Any chance that Barack Obama can take it all?
It's going to be very difficult for the Democrats, you know, to take the House. I mean, so in other words, the Obama administration is probably looking at the past 2 years as what to expect over the next four.
Also setting their strategy. In other words,
that's right.
So far they've been quite successful in putting the Republicans on the run.
They have. But it'll be interesting. Republicans have to feel a certain amount of confidence looking at the 2014 election. There's simply they are in a more advantageous position in that only four Republican incumbents are in seats that lean Democratic, whereas 15 Democrats in the House represent Republican-leaning districts.
Well, that doesn't always work, though, because we saw the Senate this time. It looked very bad for the Democrats for exactly the reasons you just said, and they were able to prevail.
That's right, but it gets worse. The current district lines for the House of Representatives are drawn in such a way as to favor the Republican Party. In the 2012 House races, Republicans won only about 49% of the popular vote, but they ended up winning about 54% of the seats. And what that means is that districts as a whole are drawn in ways that in some ways cluster in Democratic votes in such a way that they protect Republican districts.
Sure.
Right?
What they do is they throw all the Democrats into one or two districts, and so then they spread the Republicans out over a whole bunch of other ones. That's what you're saying.
Right.
And we know, for example, in Texas, they did it royally.
Right.
But on the other hand, a couple of examples I could give you this time in which George Amador was supposed to be Cecilia Ketchik because they had drawn the district just for him and he lost, albeit by 18 votes or whatever.
Right, but I think it's also interesting that was of course, the presidential election.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
We talk about the coattails, we talk about
sure.
that polling. And one of the things that we know is that Democrats are not projected to do particularly well in 2014 because Obama's not on the ticket, right? He's not. You don't have that same kind of energy and excitement. And I think importantly, you don't have the same number of volunteers. And we talked previously about how Obama is trying to institutionalize that permanent campaign, right? If they're successful, I think in some ways what you're pointing out could be true, right? That you could in fact change this kind of down mobilization election in an off year by getting people involved, getting people active, getting boots on the ground. But that's something that we usually do not see in congressional elections.
No, but let me just interrupt for a second, if I can, Brad, and show you this. I think, as you say, the one thing you just didn't say was that a lot of Democrats who know nothing showed up for the election and just voted down ticket for all the other Democrats. They wouldn't have been there if Obama wasn't running, right? I mean,
what I'm saying is that because there's so much more energy,
no, I know.
And that people are knocking on doors and things like that, it actually gets people out to the polls that otherwise wouldn't turn out.
Sure,
right.
Yes, and you're quite right about that. But now, look at what Obama's been able to do. He's got them on the run all over the place. He's got them on the run for immigration. He's got the Hispanics 7-1 he won in this last election. And he's not letting any sod grow under his feet, that is for sure, when it comes to following up on all of that. So he's got immigration going for him. He's got an awful lot of people. If it's true that 10% of the country is gay, and he has solidified that by mentioning them for the first time in an inaugural address. So he's not going to be easy on those Republicans. He's going to keep pushing.
No, he's not. Although, and this is one of the interesting things about American politics, right? That in the aggregate, right, that all of those things point to a Democratic advantage, right? And pundits are talking about a Democratic advantage in presidential elections moving forward because of this new coalition,
sure.
Right? But that's not the concern of members of the House, right? They're not concerned about national numbers. They're concerned about their home districts. Now, they might also be concerned about national numbers and trending and things along those lines, but they're always concerned about re-election first and foremost.
That's true, but they saw what happened to the Tea Party this time. The Tea Party people won in the primaries, and then they got hurt, came the general election.
Yeah, I think, though, if we look at a specific issue like the upcoming issue of government funding, right? We have a potential government shutdown coming I think it's March 27th or something along those lines, right? Well, you actually hear a lot right now from the Republican caucus that they might, in fact, dig in, take this to the trenches, and be willing to force a shutdown so that they can appease their core constituency.
Come on, Brad. You saw what happened when Gingrich tried it and the other guys have tried it. The reason they've given this additional 3 months before they do the debt ceiling is because they realize it's a loser for them.
Well, I'm not actually sure that that's true. I mean, I agree with you that I don't think they prevail on this particular issue. But it's partly about appearances. And note, they're coming off a big loss here. They lost on the tax issue. Right. And what they're looking for is a win. They have to go back to their constituents and say, look, we are fighting for you and we are prevailing, or at least we are taking the fight to the trenches. And to do that, they have to find a particular issue on which they can do it. And perhaps government shutdown is one of them. So my point here is simply that they are looking for ways of pulling out concessions from Obama and ones that may, in fact, even cut against national majorities, because they're most concerned with the majorities in their home districts.
I agree with that. On the other hand, if they keep doing what they're doing, there won't be many of them left because they're beginning to really lose numbers. And I think they took a look at this election and they say, well, immigration was a loser, so now we have to agree with Obama. When you're second to the table, you know, you get leftovers. You don't get the prime pieces of meat on this thing. So I think they've done themselves a disservice, and I sense a real shift in the way that it's done. But where is the speaker in all of this?
Well, I mean, he's dealing with a very fractious coalition, right? I mean, we saw that in the vote. Boehner, was coming dangerously close to not being speaker again.
Sure.
Because of some protest votes and people voting for Eric Cantor and the like. And, of course, the Democrats were all voting for Nancy Pelosi. So it made it a little closer than what would be comfortable for Boehner. And, you know, they have to figure out a way to manage that coalition. And they've not been able to do it. Right. And this is, I think, part of the point, right, that we have, the kind of the Tea Party faction that has been, kind of doctrinaire on issues of debt and deficit, and have been unwilling to compromise, and they're back in Congress again, right? So this is a real challenge for Boehner, and we've seen him, I think the difficulty here for Boehner is that he's had what he's wanted, right? They've had grand bargains in place with Obama that would do a lot more for debts and deficits if, in fact, they would have been enacted. But because, in part, they would have some kind of increase in revenue stream, his caucus balked, and they got less out of it, right? And so the question, I think, and this is what you're pushing, I think, is, will they learn? Will they learn that, in fact, they're harming their own policies, that they may harm themselves electorally if, in fact, they keep up this kind of recalcitrance? I'm just not sure I see. I don't see the strong incentives there for change, but, this is going to be the fight that we're going to see over the next 2 years.
Brad Hayes, we love having you here. I think he's got them coming and going, so there may not be a good answer for them, to be honest with you.
That may be.
It's always great. Professor Brad Hayes from Union College. He holds a PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland, and he is just so good at what he does. Thank you so much, Brad.
My pleasure.